Again, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12. Matthew 12, we'll be looking at verses 22 through 37 this morning. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And again, let's ask for God's help in understanding his word. Father, even as we've heard today in Sunday school, you were there and you were not silent. You have spoken and you have spoken to us what is true. And you have spoken to us because you love us. And we ask now that you would grant your Spirit we might have that spiritual wisdom and understanding that is needed to discern your will. And we ask that you would speak through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through these words as we have them recorded here in Matthew. And that you would do this for the good of the kingdom of Christ and for our growth in grace. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Two roads diverged in a yellow would. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other. For the 20th century American poet Robert Frost, these two roads looked very much the same. His regret is simply that he can't travel both, and so he's forced to choose one and not travel the other. And I think that what has made Robert Frost's poem such a favorite with us is that it gives expression to something that we've all felt and have all had to struggle with. Making a decision, making a choice, making a decision about life, choosing between two options in life. This morning, you and I are faced with this opportunity. You and I are confronted with two roads, and only two roads. There's no middle ground. There's no third way. Two roads, and a choice has to be made. And a choice will be made today. Am I going to follow Jesus Christ? Or am I going to walk away and walk apart from Jesus? Two roads diverge right here in the words of Jesus as he is speaking to these Pharisees. Notice that he refers to these two roads as being two different kingdoms. Verse 28, he tells us of the kingdom of God. Verse 26, he tells us of the kingdom of Satan. And then Jesus talks about two trees, the good tree with good fruit, the bad tree with bad fruit. He talks about two men, the good man with good things that are stored up and the evil man with evil things. And then he talks about two confessions, words that will acquit or justify and words that will condemn. Two words, two men, two trees, two kingdoms, two roads. This is what Jesus is presenting in this discussion with the Pharisees. And where these two roads diverge is seen most clearly, I believe, in verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no neutrality, no middle way, no third way. Two roads diverge, and you can't travel both. Now let's look first at what happened to bring about these two roads in this story. Verse 22. They brought to Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." You know, on one hand, there are these people who are coming to a good conclusion. They're asking the right question. You know, could this be the son of David? Could this be the one that God has promised all through the Old Testament? Could this be God's answer to our most perplexing questions in life, all of the pain that we experience in life? Could this be it? Could it be this man, Jesus? But, and that's where you see the two roads diverge. The very first word of verse 24. But, in response to what the crowds were saying, the Pharisees say, "No way. This guy can't be right with God. He's not God's messenger. He must be in league with Satan. He must be empowered by some demonic force. You know, if he controls demons, he must be in league with demons. He's as bad off as the rest of us. And it's right here that the two roads diverge. Could this be the Son of David? Could this be what we've been looking for? But the Pharisees say, no way. If you're reading through Matthew's gospel by this point, you should already have a pretty strong hint as to who's given the right answer and which is the right road to travel here. Back at verse 18, Matthew inserted a lengthy quote from Isaiah 42 about the Messiah and applied it to the life of Jesus. Verse 18, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope." And then in verse 23, the question is posed, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Son of David? And it's the same question you should be asking. You know, who is Jesus? Is he somebody that I should really follow? Is this somebody I just come and hear about on a Sunday morning because I have to come to church? Is this somebody I'm just interested in as a figure in history? Or is this somebody that I should really be following? Am I going to follow Jesus? Or am I going to walk away from him and apart from him and try to make it on my own? So here's the two roads as we see in this story as Jesus talks to the Pharisees. Now we're ready to look at Jesus' response. The two roads that lie before us will become much clearer as we see Jesus' response. Notice, first of all, that Jesus appeals to our sense of what is reasonable. He's just saying, think about this for a minute. He begins by telling us, just use some common sense. You say that I'm casting out demons by the power of demons, but what you're saying just doesn't make sense. Verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand?" He says it just doesn't make sense. Think about it. Something divided against itself just doesn't work. And then verse 27. "And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out?" Jesus said, again, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you have people who are driving out demons. Why is it okay for them to do it, but not for me to do it? Your own words are condemning you. It doesn't make any sense here. And then verse 29. "Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house." You know, if you're going to break into someone's house, you better make sure that you're stronger than the person that you're, their house that you're going to break into. If you're going to cast out a demon, you need to be not in league with demons. You've got to be stronger than the demons. And so very quickly, Jesus shows us how silly these accusations are. But it's not just silliness. He wants us to understand how serious this is. And so next, Jesus warns us of the danger. Verse 30. "Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." He looks at the Pharisees and he tells them plainly, two roads diverge into the wood right here and you can't travel both. You're either with me or you're against me. You can't be neutral. There's no middle way. You've got to choose one way or the other. Two roads are before you, and you can't travel both. If you're not following me, if you're not working with me, then you're scattering with Satan, and you're going in a different direction. A choice must be made, and a choice will be made. I mean, everybody here this morning, when you walk out of these doors, out of this room, you will have made a choice. There's no third way. There's only two ways, and you will have made a choice. You either walk out with Jesus or you walk out alone. And then Jesus very clearly tells us about the danger of making that wrong choice. Verse 31, I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. There is a sin that God says He will never forgive. If you commit this sin, you're lost forever. Only two roads. You have to be on one or the other. And so if you're not following Jesus, you're on a road that leads away from Him. And every day that you walk down that road continues to lead away from God, apart from God, and you're in danger of crossing a line. This line is not drawn every time that you hear the gospel. It's not drawn every time that you open your Bible. Jesus doesn't say the Pharisees have crossed this line, but He wants them to be aware of the danger of going down that road, not walking with Jesus, but working against Him. What is often called the unpardonable sin is simply this ongoing rejection of Jesus. Persistently rejecting Him. Hearing those invitations and calls and exhortations to walk with Jesus and to be with Him and to work with Him, and yet refuse to turn to Him. I don't want to hear it, and I just want to get out of this place. I don't want to hear any more of this. I want to go in the other direction. I want to do what I want to do. None of this makes any sense. Jesus warns us of how serious that is. I think the Pharisees were very much like Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. You remember the story of Moses, or you've seen the movie Ten Commandments or something. You know, Pharaoh. Moses goes into Pharaoh's presence, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to do it. Pharaoh refuses to agree. He refuses to obey what God says. He refuses God's word. Even though he had seen all of these wonders that God had done. The Egyptians call them plagues, 10 plagues. You know, God's people, when they think about it, those are signs and wonders. You know, these are great things that God has done as He's saving His people. The Egyptians look at it as plagues. And Pharaoh is confronted, just like the Pharisees, with very clear evidence that God is at work saving people. But he hardens his heart. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? You know, who is He? You know, is there really a God who's in control of heaven and earth? Aren't there a whole bunch of gods out there? And shouldn't we try to be pleasing all of them? Who is the Lord? Who is your God that I should obey Him? And so he hardens his heart. He says, no, I don't need God in my life. I don't need the word of God. I can do just fine without your God. And what we see in that story is there's this point that takes place as you read through the book of Exodus, where you find that Pharaoh's no longer just Pharaoh hardening his heart. You find that God is hardening his heart. And Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't be like the Pharisees. You see clear evidence of what God is saying and what God is doing. You walk away from that. Now, if you're a Christian, you really can't be guilty of this sin, persistently rejecting Jesus Christ. You can't lose God's free gift of salvation and fall away from Him. And the clear evidence that you are a Christian is that you're still walking down that road. You're still going in the right direction and you're following Christ. And you don't go back. You don't stop and say, this is not getting me anywhere. I see all those people over there. I'm going to go that way. You don't. You might fall down. You might get beat up. You might make all kinds of mistakes. You might worry. You might get confused. You might think you've had more than your share of bad days, but there you are with Him. You're following Jesus on that road. You refuse to go back. But the danger is to be here this morning and thinking, right. Bunch of religious garbage. Who has all the right answers? Who says that the Bible is true? How do I know that the Bible is true? Church is full of hypocrites. I mean, I can look around and see all these people and they've got problems. They're no better than me. They're worse than me. The Bible's not true. I don't believe any of this. I just want to live my own life. So you get up at the end of the service and you walk out alone and without Jesus. That's the danger. Notice how Jesus gives us all a sense of hope. With these last five verses of this section where he's talking to these Pharisees, how he opens a door of hope. He says, you can be a good tree that produces good fruit. Verse 33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. He says you can be a good woman, a good man, with good things stored up. Verse 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And Jesus says you can make a good confession. Notice verse 34, the end of verse 34, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Watch over the heart with all diligence. We heard this in Sunday school. Why? Because it's out of the heart that a confession will be made. You'll either say something that is right or something that is wrong. You'll reveal what kind of heart you have. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And then he says in verse 36, I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted or justified. And by your words you will be condemned. I mean, the danger is there. It's very clearly there's a sin here that God says he will never forgive if you persist in rejecting Jesus Christ. But here's a door of hope. A good tree, good fruit, a good person, good things stored up, making a good confession. Notice that Jesus is not saying, be good and you will be saved. That is a complete misrepresentation of what Jesus is saying here. Just try harder, be real good, and you'll be able to produce some kind of good fruit or you'll have a good treasure. What he says is the very opposite. Jesus is saying you can be made good by a sovereign act of God's saving grace. God will make you good, which enables you to live a good life, to produce good fruit. You can make a good confession. By your words, you are acquitted. You are justified. By your words, you are able to hear God's word saying, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. With the heart, you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place, taking that punishment, and then taking that perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ and giving it to you, dressing you in that righteousness so that you appear before God as though you had never sinned. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, as though I had never sinned or never been a sinner, to be clothed in that righteousness. With the heart, you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Two roads diverge, and you can't travel both. There's no middle ground, no third way. This morning, simply say yes to Jesus. Believe in your heart that he's there and he'll never disappoint you. Hear his call and respond to that. Chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And for those of you this morning who are following Jesus, just simply reaffirm that decision every day. This is who I am. I'm on that road and I am following Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on him. With each new day of life, thank him for his grace. Read his word. Believe his promises. Confess your failures. Pledge yourself to his service. Enjoy his friendship, regardless of what others do. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would keep us from that terrible mistake, thinking that we come to church just to learn a little bit more how to be good, and that by doing the right thing and being good, we can somehow win your favor or find help for the problems that we face in life. Father, we pray and ask that you would take that heavy hammer of your law and demolish all of our false thinking, our false hopes, our pride, our arrogance, thinking that we have no interest, no need for eternal things. Keep us from being blind. We pray that you would restrain the evil one who blinds the eyes of so many so that they do not see the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for unsaved loved ones, children, parents, spouse, some friend. We pray that you'd be gracious and merciful to them. Grant them ears to hear your gospel. Bring about in your providence some situation in which they are forced to come face to face with your claims. of being the God who made them and the God that to whom they will have to answer at the end of this age. Grant to us a strong faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.